Well, do you find in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 25. It's on page 994. And Sarah's going to read verses 1 to 13 to us.
At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise one, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you." Therefore, this is the last paragraph, verse 13. "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the day or the hour will come."
There's a famous story told about the Oscar-winning director Cecil B. DeMille. He once directed a film that had a huge, expensive battle scene. Filming on location in the Californian Valley, the director set up multiple cameras to capture the action from every angle. It was a sequence that could only be done once. When DeMille yelled, "Action!", thousands of extras playing soldiers stormed across the field, firing their guns. Riders on horseback galloped over the hills. Cannons fired, pyrotechnic explosives were blown up. The battle towers loaded with soldiers came toppling down. And the whole sequence went off perfectly. At the end of the scene, DeMille yelled, "Cut!". He was then informed, to his horror, that 3 of the 4 cameras recording the battle sequence had failed. In camera 1, the film had broken. Camera 2 had missed shooting the sequence when a lump of dirt was kicked into the lens by a horse's hoof. Camera 3 had been destroyed when a battle tower fell on it. DeMille was at his wit's end when suddenly he remembered he still had camera 4, which he had placed with a cameraman on a nearby hill to get a long shot of a battle sequence. DeMille grabbed the megaphone and called up to the cameraman, "Did you get all that?" The cameraman on the hill waved and shouted back, "Ready when you are, CB." There are many things in life that we need to make sure that we are ready for. Young people, some of you will have exams coming up very shortly. You need to make sure you are ready for them, doing the necessary revision. Parents have 9 months to get ready for the arrival of their baby. Sportsmen and women are getting ready for the big competition. And being ready is what this passage in Matthew 25 is all about. Look again at verse 13 of Matthew 25. Jesus says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." So what then are we to be ready for? Well, the answer to this question is found right back at the start of Matthew 24. These verses in Matthew 25 we're looking at this morning are part of a larger block of teaching that Jesus gave to his disciples following a question they asked in Matthew 24, verse 3. If you've got a Bible, flick back to Matthew 24 and look at verse 3 with me. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen?" That is, talking about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, which happened in AD 70. "And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" What we then have in the rest of chapter 24 and 25 is Jesus' answer to their question. And specifically here in chapter 25, we get three parables or stories that teach him about his return. So we're going to get into this first parable this morning. I've got two simple points for us to grasp. The first is this: Jesus will return. Jesus will return. Look at verse 1 of Matthew 25 with me. "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." The setting for Jesus' story is a wedding. Before our minds are taken back to the last one we went to, or maybe the various wedding shows you might watch on TV, we need to remember that weddings in Jesus' day were very different. Usually they had two parts to them. The first part would involve the groom going to collect his bride from her parents' home. And then the second part would involve the bride and the groom returning to the groom's house with all the guests for a wedding feast and the finalising of a marriage. Now often the second part of this wedding would have taken place at night. And so the wedding guests would create a torchlight procession to light the way as a groom brings his bride home. And the lamps were probably an oil-soaked rag wrapped around a stick. Well, they'd be the equivalent of the invitation that says that you are invited to this wedding. This parable here in Matthew 25 focuses on 2-10 virgins or young girls, maybe bridesmaids, who are part of a procession. However, this story is not really about a wedding. It's about Jesus' return. We're meant to understand that the bridegroom here is the Lord Jesus. And the 10 virgins are people who are waiting for Jesus' return. And as the parable continues, we learn 4 things about Jesus' return. Firstly, he says that his return will be delayed. His return will be delayed. Verses 2 to 5. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. It's unusual for the groom to be delayed at a wedding. It's usually the bride. But here in verse 5, we're told that it was the bridegroom who was a long time in coming. He was delayed. And this delay is going to expose the 5 wise from the 5 that were foolish. Jesus' return is delayed. So far, his church has been waiting 2,000 years for him to return. But we shouldn't be worried that Jesus hasn't returned as of yet. Being delayed does not mean that he's not coming. There is a good reason for this delay. The Apostle Peter tells us that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The reason for Jesus' delay in returning is God's patience. He is giving more time for people to hear the good news about him, about how he's lived a perfect life and died a perfect death in our place, to take a penalty all our sins deserve, so that if we turn from them and trust in him, we can be saved from the wrath to come and have eternal life in a new creation. I wonder how you'd answer these questions. Aren't you glad but Jesus hasn't come back yet? Would you answer yes to that or no? Aren't you glad there's still time for maybe some of you or your friends or your family to trust in him? For some of us here, we could say yes to this answer to this question. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't come back before you trusted in him? Jesus' return is delayed, but it's not a permanent delay. Secondly, we see that Jesus' return will be sudden. Look again at verse 5. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Because of a delay, both the wise and foolish virgins fall asleep, a sign that everyday life has to continue. While Jesus' return is delayed, we need to get on with eating and working and playing and sleeping. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be ready for his return. Because when he comes, he will catch everyone by surprise. Verse 6, at midnight the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Suddenly the groom does come. Over the years, there have been plenty of crackpots who have been wrong in their predictions of when Jesus is going to return. And Jesus says in his parables that those who do this, those who try to put a date on Jesus' return on their calendars, are always going to be wrong. Jesus' return is not going to be like an exam date, which we get in advance and can block out a week beforehand to get ready for it by revising. No, it's going to be as sudden as a heart attack. It could happen this evening, this year, at the start of next year, or in 10, 100, 1,000 more years' time. We do not know the hour or the day. But what we do know is that it will be sudden and unexpected for everyone. Verse 7, then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. All of the virgins are woken up and lit their lamps. They're ready to light the way for the bridegroom. What we see is that disaster struck for five of them. As we see, thirdly, that Jesus' return will be divisive. It'll be divisive. At the start of the parable, remember, we're told that five of the virgins were wise and five were foolish. And the reason or what determined whether they were wise or foolish was whether they had brought extra oil. Once all the 10 virgins had lit their lamps, it was only a matter of time before the lights would go out and the rags would need to be re-soaked in oil. And this was a problem for five of them, as they didn't have any extra oil. So we read in verses 8 to 10. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. The arrival of the groom in the parable was divisive. It separated the wise from the foolish, the ready from those who weren't ready. The foolish ones rushed around trying to get some more oil. They first asked to borrow some, but that wasn't an option. So they go to the all-night store to get some. But while they're doing this, the bridegroom turns up. He takes his guests into the wedding banquet. Although it may not be totally clear now which people are ready for Jesus' return and which people are not, when Jesus returns, it will be. His return will be divisive, separating those who are ready from those who are not. And then fourthly, we see that his return will be excluding. Verse 10 to 12. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." when the five foolish virgins return from the shop with their oil. They discover the bridegroom has already arrived. The feast has begun. It was too late for them. They had missed their opportunity. The door was shut on them. They were excluded. Can you think of another time in the Bible where we find a door being shut? Remember what happened in the days of Noah? Because of people's wickedness, God announced that he was going to judge the earth and wipe it out with a flood. But in his kindness, he gave Noah those instructions about building an ark to keep himself, his family, two of every animal safe. Noah believed God's word. He got ready for the flood by building the ark. But while Noah and his family were getting ready, everyone else laughed. They saw this massive boat in the middle of a desert. Thought, what are they doing? They're ridiculous. When the time came for God to unleash the waters of judgment, Noah and his family and the animals climb on board. And we read in Genesis 7, verse 16, the Lord shut him in. The door to the ark was shut. You can imagine as the rain started to fall, people running up to the ark, crying, let me in, banging on the door. But it was too late. They weren't ready. And this parable tells us that the same thing will happen when Jesus returns. Those who weren't ready will be excluded. They'll miss out on the wedding feast. In the other parables of Matthew 25, we hear this exclusion, what the Bible calls hell, described as darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and as eternal punishment. But here the image that Jesus wants us to think about, to consider, is that of being shut out. A book with the title Laughter in the Other Room could easily sum up verses 10 to 12. You see, for the five wise virgins, the door was shut to everything that was wrong and evil and messed up. It was shut to pain, to sorrow, to sickness, to wickedness, to doubts, to death, forever. But for the five foolish virgins, the door was shut to everything that was good and loving and enjoyable. You see, the consequences for not being ready for Jesus' return are tragic. So we see that Jesus' return is delayed. He hasn't returned yet, but he will. Jesus' return is sudden. Everyone will be surprised when it happens. His return is divisive. It will separate those who are ready from those who aren't. And Jesus' return is excluding. Those who are not ready for it will be excluded from heaven. Jesus will return. So secondly, be ready. Jesus will return. It will happen. So make sure you are ready for it. In the late 80s, early 90s, there was a great advert on TV for the Yellow Pages. Some of you may remember it. It went like this. A young lad wakes up after an all-night party at his house, and he realizes that his parents fly home that day. As he gets up, he discovers people that he doesn't know there in his living room, having stayed the night. The whole place has been trashed. After a frantic tidy-up, he looks like he's ready for his parents' return, only to move something from the coffee table and discover on it a scratch. So out comes the Yellow Pages. He turns to a page, French polishes, and a man comes round, fixes the damage, just as his parents ring to be picked up. It's then that he turns round and is horrified to see that the portrait painting has been given the glasses and moustache treatment with a marker pen. But the young lad needed to be ready for his parents' return. But more important than that, we all need to be ready for Jesus' return. And that's the warning Jesus gives as the parable closes. Look again at verse 13 with me. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Our motto should be, each day, be ready, be ready. So are you ready this morning? Are you living your life as someone who is waiting for Jesus' return? I guess for some of you here, you won't be ready because Jesus' return isn't even on your radar. You're not someone who is waiting for Jesus because you're not one of his followers. Why would you wait for him if you weren't? Well, if that's you, can I encourage you to consider, to think hard about what Jesus is saying in this parable? Because his message is clear. He is going to return. And if you are not ready for his return, you will be excluded from heaven and be punished forever in hell. That's a serious message that he is saying here. Good news is that it's not too late for you to turn to him, to turn from your sins and trust in him to rescue you. Jesus' return is being delayed to allow time for you to be saved. We heard that verse from Peter. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but to come to repentance. We need to know that his return won't be delayed forever. Are you ready this morning? And being ready is very much a personal thing. To use the imagery of the parable, you can't borrow someone else's oil. It doesn't matter if you have family who are Christians or friends who are Christians, or you attend a church where there are Christians. These people might help you to get ready by telling you about Jesus, but they won't mean that you are ready. Imagine you're on a train and a ticket inspector came along. If you don't have a ticket, you're going to get the punishment. It wouldn't matter if a person sitting next to you has a ticket. The issue is that you don't. And it's the same principle here. Yeah, having said this, this question, are you ready, in the parable, is not primarily being addressed or asked of those who don't believe and trust in Jesus. We actually see this in a couple of ways. First is that Jesus in Matthew 24 and 25 is talking to his disciples. He's not addressing here the crowds of people that followed him throughout his ministry. He's addressing those that say they are his followers. And then the second way we actually see in the parable itself. Look at verse 1 again. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Who in a parable was waiting for Jesus? It was all 10 virgins. They all appear to be his followers. Can you see that when Jesus gives this warning about being ready in verse 13, he is asking his followers, those who say they are Christians, are you ready? Because not all of them will be. There will be five foolish virgins. And that's the shock of a parable. Or as someone's put it in the past, the sting of a tale. Even though you may say you are trusting in Jesus, it is just possible that you are not ready for his return. Why might that be? Why might you not be ready? Well, let me suggest a couple of reasons why that might be the case for you today. One reason could be that we don't really believe that Jesus could return in our lifetime. We've actually got so used to the delay. Wonder, do you actually believe that Jesus could return today? You see, if we don't believe he could return any time, we're not going to see our need to be ready as being urgent. We're more likely to be like the five foolish virgins and forget to get some extra oil, so to speak. Maybe it's this. We might not be ready because actually we don't want Jesus to return in our lifetime. Maybe there are lots of things that you want to do now. Experiences you want to have in the here and now. And if Jesus was to return, well, that would be quite inconvenient for you. It would prevent you from having them. I think this problem comes from having too small a view of the glories of heaven. Because the more we grasp how wonderful heaven is going to be, the more disappointing life on this earth will become. And the more desperate we will be to make sure that we are ready for when Jesus comes again. In one sense, this world makes it easy for us to long for heaven. We see loved ones die. Wars and famine. I feel our bodies getting weaker by the day. But in another sense, this world does make it harder for us to long for heaven, because we are being bombarded every day with messages saying that this world is all there is, and how wonderful it is if you do this or that. Christians, let's examine ourselves to see whether we both believe that Jesus could and whether we want him to return in our lifetime. But not just that, let's make sure we are waiting as those who are ready. How do we wait as those who are ready? Well, as you read the parable, it's not immediately clear how you're to make sure you're ready. The parables that follow, it'll become a lot clearer in. But I do think there's a hint in verses 2 to 4, because we're told there that the ones who are ready are the ones who are wise. Ones who are ready for Jesus' return are the people who are wise. And if you've been reading Matthew's Gospel from start to finish, as you've got through to chapter 25, having read from chapter 1 onwards, by this point in your reading, you'll know what it means to be wise. So go back to Matthew 7. Don't turn away. I'll read you a verses. Jesus tells that story about the wise and the foolish builder. And what does he say the wise man is? He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, symbolizing God's judgment. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. To be wise, we're told in Matthew's Gospel, is to hear and to put into practice what Jesus says. It's to listen and to obey. And in the previous chapter, we saw that listening to Jesus' words and being and obeying in terms of being ready means standing firm to the end. Because it's those who stand firm to the end who will be saved. So from this parable, the way we make sure that we are ready is by persevering in our faith. We don't let the lamp go out. We keep going. We listen to what Jesus says by hearing and reading his word. We ask for grace each day to trust and obey him. We take time to marvel at what he has done for us. For us who are so undeserving, so that our love does not grow cold. One of the great benefits of Sunday, I hope you love gathering together on a Sunday. Because Sunday, gathering together on a Sunday should be the highest point of your week. It should be the thing you most look forward to, the thing you most long to do. Because it's there you gather with other brothers and sisters to together marvel at your Saviour, to marvel at what he's done for you, to tell one another as you sing, this is who our Saviour is. Isn't he great? Keep trusting in him. In fact, why are you thinking about not trusting him? He's brilliant. Keep going at it. Make sure you're ready for his return, because he's going to come again. We should cherish the opportunity each Sunday to gather, to encourage one another to be ready for his return. The sting of a tale, the shock warning of a parable, is that there will be some who think they are following the Lord Jesus, who will discover that when he returns, they weren't, because they weren't ready for his return. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Let's make sure that we are those who are ready by persevering in our faith in the Lord Jesus. And let's make sure that we are active in encouraging each other to persevere too. Let's pray we would. Our Father, we thank you that one day your Son will return from heaven, but he will come again for his people to renew and restore this world into a new creation where all the wickedness and sin and sorrow and suffering and death will be gone forever. We thank you that one day that event will take place. Thank you that we can be certain that though the Lord Jesus' return is delayed, that delay is not permanent. Father, would you help us by your Spirit to be ready for when our Saviour returns. Help us to keep trusting him day by day, to persevere in our faith. Lord, would you keep us from falling into sin? Would you keep us from growing cold in our love for you? Would you help us to encourage one another to do the same? Would you help us to keep pointing each other to the Lord Jesus, to what he has done for us through his death and resurrection, to marvel at the grace that he has shown to us who are so undeserving? And may we keep pointing out our need to persevere so that we are ready for that day when he arrives. Father, please apply these words now to our hearts so that we are those who keep watch. Amen. Well, this theme of being ready, of keeping watch, of encouraging one another to do that is what we're going to sing about now as we close our service. The hymn, O Church, Arise and Put Your Armour On. And he goes on, we'll go on and say, Spirit, come, put strength in every stride, give grace for every hurdle. Well, let's pray that we would do that as we sing.